All right, we're in Perek Chaf Beis in Hilchos Ishus. What the Rambam is going to speak about now, certainly the first half of the Perek, has to do with the Yerusha, the inheritance that a husband, gets from his wife. Okay, so after his wife passes away, there's a certain Yerusha, a certain inheritance that the husband is entitled to. Okay, especially when it comes to his entitlement to her estate versus, let's say, siblings of, let's say, his in-laws. So he starts off in Halacha Aleph for the principle, Habal kodem l'chol adam yushas ishto. So when it comes to Yerusha, and remember, in Hilchos Nachalos, we'll get into more specifics how Yerusha works. But for now, this is one of the things that have to do with marriage. The husband comes before anyone else, any other person, when it comes to inheriting from his wife's estate. Okay, so Imei Masai Yizachah be Yerushasa. Right, so when does this actually take place? When is he zochet to this? So the moment she leaves her father's home, I know literally this is what it means. In other words, she left her father's house, even if she hasn't gone into her husband's house yet. So she hasn't gone home, okay? Okay, she's considered that, even though she hasn't physically entered in, she's considered under his rishus, and therefore her husband would yoresh if she died. So what's the case? As you'll see in a second. Halacha Beis, Ketzad, Ha'isha, Shenis Arsa. So let's say Kiddushin took place. Umasra Avia Labaila, and basically the father, so to speak, hands off his daughter to her new husband. Olu Shluchi Baila, or to the Shluchim who were sent by the husband. Umasrua Shluchi Av Labaila, or the Shluchim of the father gave her over to the husband. Olu Shluchi Baila, or to the Shluchim of the Baal. But either way, the point is that an exchange was made, so to speak, where she is now, the father's now delivered her, so to speak, from his home, okay, to him. Umesa baderech, and she dies on the way. She never actually entered into his house. Kodim shetechnas l'chupa. So af al pi sheksuvasa adayim beis avia, okay, even though the ksuba, okay, is still, the parnasa actually still in the beis avia, baila yorsha. The husband would still yorish her assets, even though the nisuin hasn't taken place. V'chein as well, im halacha av u'shlicha av imabal, let's say the father went with the husband, v'nichnas ima baila baderech l'chatzer, and let's say the husband went with her into an area of privacy, they were misyachet with each other, right? Sham l'shem nisuin, they did yichud together for the purpose of nisuin, right? But again, they haven't gone to his home yet. Umesa, and she dies, harezu yirshen al baila. He also will be able to inherit her assets. Aval ima dina av ima baal leholich lebeis baila. But let's say the father is still walking with the husband, okay, to bring her to her new home. O shahalchu shluchi av shluchi baal. O ima baal. Or let's say the shlichim are walking with the husband. Vafilu nichna sabal ima lechatzer lolun. Even if the husband went with her, let's say into the chatzer, just to to kind of like almost like being going to a hotel, like a public area. Kederek shalunin over a drachim mepunda, like people would do when they're staying at a hotel. Hoel v'ahav v'ha'av o shluch avima, since her father or the shluchim are still with her, v'dayin lo nisyachin ima l'shem yisuin, and they haven't been together privately for the purpose of consummating the marriage, im mesa, if she dies in this situation, yershena avia af yishkik shuvasa v'es baila. She would end, her father would actually end up, inheriting the estate. So basically it comes down to, even if there wasn't, it has to really have to do with the point where she completely leaves her father's domain. If her father's still with her at any point during this journey, so to speak, to her future husband's house, and she dies along the way, then he still inherits. As long as the handoff has taken place and the father's no longer there, even before she's gone into his house, if she dies, the husband ends up being yorish. Okay, so that's the general principle. Now, of course, the Rambam is going to bring in certain variables. Halacha gimel, v'chein im haisa bogeres or yisoma or almana. Okay, so let's say you have a situation of a bogeres or an orphan, or let's say she's a widow. V'halcha hi ba'atzma v'beis avia l'beis baila. That's the key. She goes on her own. She walks by herself. Okay, let's say it's the yisoma. She has no parents. So she goes by herself from her father's house, where he used to live, the base baila, to the house of her new husband. Ve'ein ima lo baila v'lushuchav, and she's alone. Okay, she's alone on the way. Umesa baderech. Now remember, Erusin took place, obviously, but she dies in the road. Ain't a bal yorish osa. In that situation, he would not inherit her estate. Okay. Halacha dalit. Okay. Hanosa isha shehi asurala. Now let's say a man marries a woman who is forbidden. It's a prohibited relationship. Hol v'yeshlo ba kiddushin. Okay. What do you call it? Im mesa tachta of yoshem. Okay. So what we would say is that even if as long as the kiddushin is a valid kiddushin, even though it was done with the iser, if she dies while in that situation, he would end up inheriting. V'chena nose is a ketana. Even if he marries a ketana, which if you recall, the kiddushin isn't complete, right? Afapi she'en kiddushia kiddushin gemurim, even though it's not a complete kiddushin, im mesa tachta v'shena. If she died before the kiddushin was complete, it's also considered he also would inherit the property. Aval hapikeach shenasa hareshes. But let's say a normal man marries a woman who's a deaf mute. Im mesa lo yershena. If she dies, he doesn't yorish any of her estate. Ba'achere shenasa pikachas. But let's say he's a deaf mute and he marries a woman who is perfectly fine. Umesa, she dies, yershena. Then the cheresh would inherit. Sharehi bas das, because she is someone who is a thinker or capable of thinking. Oladaita nasas, and it was in her intention to marry him. Vizich salo mamona, and therefore he's zoka to her mamon to inherit from her after she dies. Okay, halacha hey. Ketana shiniskatcha ladas avia. So let's say a ketana was miscottish to a man through the das of her father. Vinises, okay, shalo ladas avia. So again, the kedushin was done with the permission, so to speak, of the father, but not the nisuin. Okay, bein b'fana, bein shelo b'fana. Whether it was in front of him or not in front of him, yochol av limchos k'moshvana. We've seen before the father has the right to object to the nisuin. However, v'afilu shasaka av. But let's say the father, even if the father does not say anything, im mesa, if she dies, ein abal yorsha, alein kein ratzah av minyusel. Even if he didn't say anything, you need explicit permission in the case of the katana by the av. Explicit permission in order for the Baal to be yorish her assets. So if that permission was not given by the Av, then he's unable to inherit the assets if she died. Okay, Allah above. Okay, Horua Gaonim. So obviously it's not from the Gemara, but in the Gaonic age, a certain halacha came out. Sha'isha Shechalsa, let's say a woman gets sick, and in her state of sickness, Ubiksha mi baila shigarshena, she begs her husband, while sick, please divorce me. And basically, why does she want to do that? She wants to divorce, okay, so that ultimately when she dies, he will not inherit her assets, okay? So she wants a divorce. She wants the ksuba as a result, right? And then he is not going to, what do you call it? Well, in the normal case, he won't be able to inherit. But even if she says, I don't want my ksuba, she says divorce and I wouldn't even take the ksuba, okay? In order that he doesn't inherit. Ain shomala. We don't listen to her. But even if she says, ani sona oso, I hate the guy. Veni rotsa la morimo. I can't stand to be with him. Ain shomala, vein danala din meredes. We don't consider it to be a meredes. We don't listen to her. V'din yafahuzeh. And the Rambam seems to acknowledge that this is a good halacha. He's din yafahuzeh is his way of saying he accepts this as being a good halacha. Okay. All right. Halacha zayin. So now we're going to go back to the nechasim that a woman brings into the marriage. Remember, there's nechse mulog and nechse tzon barzo. Okay. So we have certain nechasim where she brought them in after the marriage, as an example, where the husband only has rights to the profits versus nechasim that when she brings into the marriage, he has rights over immediately, okay, responsibility for. The Lech HaZayin is going to explain, kol nechasim sheish l'isha ben nechse sombarzel ben nechse milog. So all the assets that a woman brings into marriage with her, whether they're nechse sombarzel or nechse milog, habal ocho kol perusim b'chayeh. So the husband's entitled to any of the profits or a monetary gain that comes about through these assets while she's alive. The im mesa b'chaya baila, and if she dies while the husband is still alive, yorish baila kol. So he's yorish, nechseh tzombarzel, nechseh malog. Remember, she comes in within the dunya, and then they split. There's nechseh tzombarzel, nechseh malog. Levikach, im machra isha nechseh malog. Now, for example, let's say the woman sold off her nechseh malog, achar she nechseh, after she gets married. So even though ultimately she became, so to speak, the owner of this of these assets prior to, you know, she would own the assets prior to being engaged and married to the Baal, he's the Baal has rights to these profits from, let's say, a third party who's purchased them, or as long as she's alive. Avalo guf hakarka, but not when it comes to the actual land itself. She'en lo klum beguf nechse melug ad shetamos. But she has no rights to property of nechse melug until she dies, right? So when she's alive, he can demand the peros from the kuchos, but not karka. Karka he can only demand from the kuchos after she passes away. Mesa b'chaya, unless she dies while he's still alive, motzia guf miyad kuchos lo damim. Right, he can go ahead and basically take back the land from a third party without paying them for it at all, because they never should have gotten it. Vim hadamim shalacha min lekuchos kayam ba'atzman. And if the money that the woman took from the lekuchos actually still exists, machzir lekuchos, then he would refund the lekuchos that money. Ven yachol lomar shema motziahin. The husband cannot say that maybe this money was, so to speak, found by my wife on the street, and therefore take it for himself. So he would have to return any funds that she made off of that sale. But again, that's all predicated on the fact that the sale itself was not a kosher sale, so to speak. Allah chas, v'med v'ar morim, so when does this all work? B'nechasim, how you do in the ba'al. So this all has to do about property that the husband was aware of. Ava'im naflun on nechasim v'dina acheres. But let's say it turns out that his wife she had a long lost aunt who left her property in a million miles away. Below Yota ben Abal, and the Baal had no knowledge of this property that she inherited. Umachar Osan, and she sells it, Machar Kaim. That situation, the sale of the asset there or the property is considered a good sale. So too, Bechain Arusa, let's say has done Kedushin, but not Nisuin, Shemachar Kodama Nisuin, so she sells these things prior to Nisuin, Machar Kaim. The sale is a good sale. Shein Labal Benichse Arusaso Klum Achiechnas. Because ultimately, the husband has no actual rights to her nechassim until nisuin. But as long as they're still in erusin, he doesn't have those. He doesn't have those rights. We'll get to nechassim some bars on the second. I think he brings it up soon. Allah Hatas Haisha Shekasva Kol Nechaseh LaAcher. Okay, so what's the case here? Let's say a woman decides to write a contract giving over all of her nechassim to someone else. Bain Karov, Bain Rachok, whether it's someone she's related to or someone not. Kodem Shetinase, prior to when she gets married. So right before the wedding, she decides to sign away on a shtar all of her assets. Afapish in this garsha and this almana tivata matana. Okay, so even though if she went ahead and got divorced or became an almana, this matana itself is basically negated. Kamoshi is barred with Ochos matana. We'll see that down the road. Einabal Ochel Perasan. At this point, though, the husband is not able to benefit from any monetary gain she'd make. Then Mesa in a Yorshan. And also, if she died, he would not benefit at all he would not be able to Yorish any of her assets. Because she got rid of them. She gave away her property prior to getting married. And when she dies while her husband's alive, Yikda Mikaba Matana Matanaso Kinyan Gam. Okay. So basically, the halacha is that. What it called by giving away when she dies, okay, while her husband's still alive, the person who basically received the matana, it goes from let's say a matana reception to a complete kenyan. It's now considered something that completely owned by that third party. Below, not only that, ela afilu nasta mixas nechaseya. Let's say she only gave away some of her assets, oklum, okulam, or all of them kodem nisueha before nisuim. The kusvel, the mekabel, kenei mehayom, right? And she writes down to the person purchasing it, purchase these assets or this land from today, ukule ule kashe erze, right? And when I want to, excuse me, based on my consent, jereilo kana kinyan gamar ashatirze, and therefore the kinyan that the third party is making is not a complete kinyan until she says, I'm giving consent for that, ain't about ocha peris, meaning again, even though this kinyan is not complete, the baal is no longer able to enjoy any of the monetary gain from her assets. Ochaperos osa matana, osa matana. In mesa in yorsha, it is considered a matana, and if she dies, he would not be yorsh that as well. Okay, halacha yud. Now turning over to the case of a yavam. Okay. So shomeris yavam. Let's say a woman is waiting for her brother-in-law to marry her. Okay, yeshla limkor v'litay menechasim shenafula. So she's allowed to go ahead and actually sell or give away the property that came to her hands, kishihi shomeres yavam, as long as she's in a state of being awaiting to get married through yibum. Vein liyavam peros. Okay. However, what do you call it? Until he marries her. Okay. He what do you call it? He does not have what do you call it? He cannot benefit from the property at all. V'afilu b'nichsei tzon barzel shenisam achav lechavat sheyichnos. So he can't benefit at all from any of her nechasim in the case of yibum until there's the yibum takes place. Mesa kashehi shemeres yavam. Now let's say the yavama dies while she's still in a state of yavam. Yorshea me'avia.
What's going on with the sound that you like?
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. So Mesa, let's say she kashehi shemeres yavam. Let's say she dies while still in a state of shemeres yavam. Okay, Yorshea me'avia, Yorshe nichse melog shema, v'chatzi nichse son barzel. Okay, so what ends up happening? So her Yorshim, okay, will inherit from her father's house her nichse melog and half the nichse son barzel. The Yorshe habal, the Yorshim of her husband, Yorshim ksuva, so they would get her ksuva, and the other half, v'chatzi nichse son barzel. The Yorshe habal, chayavim karasa, and the Yorshim of the husband are the ones responsible for burying her in that situation. So basically, the upshot is in the Shomeres Yavam case, it's a kind of like a netherworld, a purgatory, where if she dies, insofar as Yerusha is concerned, it gets kind of sticky. Okay, Lucky at Aleph, Shomeres Yavam Suvasa Akon Nechse Baila. Okay, the money that's due to a woman who's waiting for Yibum, okay, again, she's waiting to marry her brother in law, okay, the Ksuba is considered to be a lien against the Nechasim of her. Prior of her dead husband's estate. Lefikach, ein ha-yavam yachol limkor menechse achiv. Therefore, the yavam, okay, which is the brother-in-law, soon to marry her, he's not allowed to sell any of the nechasim of his brother, deceased brother, bein kodem yivam, bein achar yivam, whether it's before or after the yivam itself. Then makar, let's say he did this, he did sell it, o nasam matana, or gave it as a gift, o chalaki mechab, or he divided up among his brothers, whether it's before or after Yivam, lo asa klum. There's no legitimacy to the financial transaction. Why should kvar nischayvu nechasim elu l'almana l'gavos ben ksubasa? Because these assets are supposed to be available to the almana that she can collect on against the ksuba that's owed to her. So basically, she has rights before they do. So the yavam can't touch these at all. Alach yud beis. Kana says Yavimto, so let's say he marries the Yavama, v'niach echav peros michubaran lekarka. Okay, so let's say the Yavam's brother had a field, okay, and there are actual, let's say, carrots growing in the field, okay? So meaning there are carrots there at the time, okay? Yimachru, he's allowed to go ahead and sell the produce, v'yilakach behen karka, okay? And he can go ahead and use the money that he makes off selling the carrots to purchase the karka, the yavam ochel perasam. And the yavam will end up deriving any benefit that the land in the future will develop. So he will have rights to those peros in the future. Alach yud gimel, hiniach peros tlushim in a karka. Okay, now let's say the brother left a field where the produce was already harvested. So it's almost a bare field. V'chein miniach maos, okay, or let's say he left money, okay, or umetaltalin, movable assets. A kol shel yavam. That all goes to the yavam. Well, mishtamish behen kamosh yirtzeh. He can make use of them anyway he wants to. Then yachol la'akeh. She can't stop him. Why? Shamitaltalin, right? When it comes to movable assets, ein haksuva nigves mehen. The ksuba does not, has nothing to do with those. Ela betakanas ga'onim. It's only because of takanas ga'onim that metaltalin have anything to do with this. Vein koch betakanazu, and the power of this takana of the ga'onim, it does not have the power, l'mano menichse achav, to prevent him from collecting from his brother's property. And to cause him to basically restrict him from being able to engage in business with his brother's assets. So the takanas ga'onim of metaltalin by ksuba cannot override the, so to speak, natural rights that the brother has to his deceased brother's assets. Okay, halach yadalad, yavama shalo haisala ksuba. So let's say we have a situation where the yavama, okay, her deceased husband, okay. Let's say that situation was where the deceased husband was not chayef to give her a ksuba. O shemacha ksubasa. Or a situation where she gave up rights to her ksuba to him, okay. Zacha benichse achiv, okay. In such a situation, the yavam is entitled to the nechasim of his deceased brother. Umocha benosan kichafetzo. So you can sell them and give them away because they basically belong to him. They're as if they're his objects. Ugashi yichno says yivimto, but now when he marries the Yavama, yichtov lo ksuva mea, right? He must write her ksuva of mea zuz, right? Because remember, she's not a besu anymore. Viyu kol nechasa v'achrayim l'ksuvasa, and all of his assets become responsible in the ksuva, kashar kol nashim sheshang ksuva. So basically, the transition of when he marries her through Yibum, now he treats or she gets a ksuba of 100, and all the general rules that apply by ksuba by her first husband will apply by the yavam as well. Okay, halacha tesvav, ha'isha shemachra o shenasna achar shenises b'nichsein so barzel. Okay, someone asked before. Let's say she sells or gives away after she gets married. Okay, after nisuin nichsein so barzel. Whether bein labayla bein lacherim, whether she sells it to her husband or to others, lo asus klum. She hasn't done anything, meaning the transaction's invalid. As well, v'chein abal shemachar karka b'nechse ishto. If the husband goes ahead and sells property, real estate belonging to his wife, ben nechse tzon barzel ben nechse mlog, doesn't matter which nechasim were, lo asa klum. So there's no reality to this type of transaction, okay? Whether it's her selling nechse tzon barzel, right? And whether he sells the karka, okay? Whether it's nechse tzon barzel, nechse mlog. Okay, Allah Kata Zayin, Machar Metaltalin Shenechse Sombarzo. Okay, now let's say he sells Metaltalin. Remember, the case in Allah Kata Zav is Karka. Let's say he sells movable assets that are Nechse Sombarzo. Afa Pishen Rashai, even though he's not really technically allowed to do this, Im Machar Mimachar Okain. So even though he's not allowed to sell it, if he did sell it, the Mechira is considered a good Mechira. Machar Shneyam, now let's say both of them together decide to sell Benechse Malog, okay? Bain shalakach min ishtila, v'chazer b'lachach min isha, bain shalakach min isha, v'chazer b'lachach min ish, machron kain. It doesn't matter if the person purchasing it did it from the property from the husband first and then from the wife, whatever the order is, it's irrelevant. If they both agree in selling the nechse melog, karka, the sale is considered to be a good sale. We'll do one more. Halach yed zayin, v'chena isha, shemachra. So too, if a woman sells her nechse melog, or nasta nechse melog labayla, let's say she sells or gives her nechse melog to her husband, machra u matanasa kayamin. Whether she sells it or gives it as matana, it's considered valid. Veinia chol omar, she can't go back and say, bin nechse melog, nachas ruach atzisi labayli. I only did this to make my husband happy. That won't work. Aval b'shar nechasim yishal omar. But she could do it with other assets. Okay, we'll stop here and we will pick this up tomorrow.